You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of Revelations tonight. Book of Revelations. Thank the Lord for the good testimonies. And if you don't have a testimony, it's be a good night to get you one.
Yes.
Won't cost you anything to get a testimony, it cost him everything to give you one. We have enjoyed these days together. We appreciate all that has been done for us. Food that's been brought in, out for food, and over for food. You've all done so marvelously well to help me to get to heaven earlier. For that, I'm extremely grateful. But we thank the Lord for this place and what it means to us.
Amen.
And certainly do not just think about you these days, but we think about you a lot. And thank the Lord for it. We have been looking at the face of the Lord and sort of piggybacking off of the Shunammite woman. After studying his face, she said that he was altogether lovely. And we were drawn to these thoughts with a little phrase out of the song, "Face to face, what shall it be?" And so we've been preaching in these days on face to face. My, what a face, what a face. We've looked at the revealed face of Christ, the resolved face, the radiant face, and then last night, I appreciate the Lord helping us to look at the redeemed face of Christ. I want to begin our thoughts tonight in Revelation chapter 6. I want to look at the reigning face of Christ tonight. It's been said of Jesus that when he was on earth, he was a prophet. Now that he is in heaven, he is a priest. And when he comes, he'll be a king. I don't believe a word of it. Please forgive me. He has always been a prophet. He has always been a priest, and he shall always be a king. He has the face of a prophet, a priest, and king. He is all that and oh, so much more. His face is altogether lovely, and I am certainly somewhere in eternity when we see him, we'll have to say something. We'll just have to bust. We'll have to say something about that face. My, what a face. As we begin to look at it in Revelation chapter number 6, this reigning face, I would draw our attention first of all tonight to the separation from this face. Separation from this face. He says in verse 15, "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, chief captains, the mighty men, every bond man, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." Verse 15 would cover people from all walks of life. I don't doubt that verse 15 will include some of you. And the Bible said, "And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from him." No. They scared of that face. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon a throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us. Conceals oneself from being seen. You imagine anybody being foolish enough to think they could hide from God. I don't think you ought to take heart at that. Your Papa Adam and Granny Eve, they were the first to think that they could hide from him. They're crying out for the mountains to hide them. It is their desire to be separated from that face. Every time you come here, you that are lost here tonight, you kids here that are lost, you adults that are here and lost, every time you come here and reject salvation, you're telling him one more time, you desire not to see his face.
Well, listen.
Every time you do it, you're stacking up. And he says in the text, hide us from the face, verse 16, from the wrath of the Lamb. Literally, this little phrase, the angry, the mad Lamb.
Yes.
It has been my privilege to know him as the sweet Lamb of God. He is a lamb that has often extended his hands of mercy and kindness to so many, has a face that is so lovely. But I assure you, you do not want to know the angry Lamb. He says, for the great day of his wrath has come. So every time you leave here and say no to him, you say it one more time, I desire not to see your face when this is over with. Separation from his face. You've got the Bible there, Revelation chapter 20. See, once you have made your desire clear, then there will be the separation demanded. He's going to say, if you don't want my face, that's no problem. Get out of here. I don't want to see yours either. He says in chapter 20 and verse number 11, and I saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven, the entire universe now, is desiring to flee from that face. And there was found no place for thee. See, you have found somehow to reject him. You have found your hiding place service after service. But when the demand comes,
listen.
No hiding place. It says in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. No place to hide. I'm glad for the day that he revealed himself to me as the Lamb of God, who takes away sin. And I can say clearly tonight, hallelujah to the Lamb, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon a tree. By his stripes we are healed, by his blood we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I will not have to depart, because I have made it clear to him. Matter of fact, I keep telling him all the time, I want to see that face. I want to be able to say, my, what a face, what a face. But every time you reject him, you're telling him, I don't want that face.
Oh my, listen.
If you have the Bible there, Going further in this reigning face in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, we find there the seeking for this face, the seeking for this face. Those who know his face in redemption, we are told clearly in 2 Chronicles 7 that they are a seeking people. Well, what do they seek? Notice the text, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my hand.
Oh,
man, listen. No, he doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. Seek my hand. Not for me to do something for you. No. I just want your face. If you'll seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then and only then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You want to know what's wrong with America? It ain't in Washington, it's right here. It ain't getting a Republican in the White House. No. What is this people that have seen his reigning face like? They say they identify with his name, his people. He says they're a humble people. They're not arrogant and self-centered. Not all about me. They're praying people. Seeking for his face. They're not interested in his hand. Do. No.
Right.
Just want your face.
Yes. Yes.
They're repenting people. I heard not long ago somebody asked an old man, how you know you're still saved? He said, I'm still believing, still repenting.
That's all right. Yeah.
If you're not doing both of them, mark her down. You're hell bound with a hammer down. Some of you have been so long since you've been to this altar, I don't even know if you know the way down here.
Oh, Lord.
Believing and repenting. And they're hearing people. My people should call by my name. He says, I will hear from heaven, heal their land. I can remember the years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not that it was for me he died. I had no desire for his face or his hand. He never crossed my mind unless I was in a jam and I would use him as a rabbit's foot. But now that I have been redeemed, I can do nothing but trust him, seek him, acknowledge him in all my ways, lean not to my own understanding. I need not his hand, but oh, I need his face. I need the countenance of the Almighty God to shine down upon my life. I'm talking about the seeking for his face. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, are you a face seeker? Or is it really just, Lord, can you do? Lord, could you work this out? Can you do that? No. Lord, I don't want nothing. I just like to see your face. Psalms 41, this reigning face. I would mention tonight the security in this face. There is security in this face. Psalms 41. And verse 12, Psalmist David says, and as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face every now and then. He said, if you're redeemed tonight, he said, I have set you before my face forever. The indication of forever, he says, I had already set you before my face before you asked me to set you before my face. The little word set means to be fixed, to set up, to establish, to have the everlasting focus of the eyes upon. God says, if you're redeemed tonight, he says, I'm looking at you and only you. Wow. Treats me like I was his only child. Talking about the reigning face of God. Psalm 17, verse number 8. David said, as for me, verse number 8, keep me as the apple of thine eye. He says, I have made you the apple of my eye. Oh, don't do it now, but later, lean somebody back and look in that round part, which is called the eyeball. Get real close up to them and look in that little eyeball and see what you see. Tell you what you'll see. You'll see yourself. It'll be a mirror. He said, that's where I've got you. I've got you inscribed on my eyeball. Oh, my, what a face. Job told us in his little writings, he never takes his eyes off the righteous. He says in Psalm 67, I'm talking about the security. His security tonight is not in some prayer you prayed. Oh, no. Your security tonight's in his face. That's why we want to see it so bad. Psalm 67 and verse number 11. I think that's where we want to be, 67. No, 67:1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us forever. Shine with his shining upon us. We're always in the light. You ever go in a room, it's awful deep, I don't even know if you can get this now. You might have to have a doctor's degree to figure this out in the Bible. You ever gone in a room and turned the lights on and wonder where the darkness went? As long as that light's on, darkness don't ever come back. I tell you, if you're living in darkness tonight, it's because the lights never come on. Listen to me tonight. I love what the old songwriter said. He says, our God reigns, our God reigns. It was our sin and guilt that bruised and wounded him. It was our sin that brought him down where we like sheep had gone astray. The shepherd came and on his shoulders he bore our shame. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Meek as a lamb that led out to the slaughterhouse. Dumb as a sheep before its shearers. His life ran down upon the ground like pouring rain that we might be born again. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Won't it be a joy to see him one day. Say, my, what a face. If you have the Bible there tonight, Psalm 17 again. Could I mention the sight of this face? The sight of this face. There is an anticipation of the sighting. The psalmist said in verse 15, as for me, and I'm talking about so much us, which is not a bad thing, but you're just talking about me. I will behold thy face in righteousness. He says, one day I will see your face. What's it going to be like, David? He says, I shall be satisfied. He's interested in that little word, satisfied. It is our little word, stuffed, full to excess. It's late Thursday afternoon after Thanksgiving feeling. Probably can identify with that. When I awake, when I come from the sleep of death, he says, with thy likeness, the embodiment, the manifested image, the perfect reflection of the real thing. There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. I look at one more text tonight in Revelations 22. There's an anticipation. There's an anticipation of a sighting. We do have that hope. It's by faith. But he closes out the Bible in his last words to us, John. He does not give us an anticipation, but he gives us an assurance that there will be a sighting. I love what he says. Verse number 4, Revelation 22. And they might, he said, and they shall see his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a part, shall and will statements in the Bible are part of his last will and testament. For anybody to write a will, the only way it can be enacted is that they must die. Well, he's written down all of these I will and I shall statements. They were in his last will and testament. If you're the redeemed, it's for you. But the only way it could be enacted is that he had to die. Well, he did. Of course, you know, if you make a will out, don't mean going to do with you'll jump what you want them to, unless you've got a good power of attorney. And so he raised himself from the dead,
yes.
And he has now become the power of attorney.
Why, yes.
And he's going to make sure that the will is carried out. Well, he wrote in the will, Tom Gillum shall see my face. He died, an act of will, raised himself from the grave. He said, there will be a sighting of my face. Well, what's it going to be like? He said, in his name shall be in their foreheads. I was interested in the little word name. The little word means the entirety of another. His interest, his pleasure, his deeds, his mind, his action, and his authority. Involved in this name. Of course, I often thought, is everybody going to have Jesus tattooed on their forehead? I had to go again today and meditate upon that little Greek word, forehead. It comes from a root word that we have already studied this week. It comes from the root word transfigured. It has the idea to take on the complete reproduction and mirror of the original. So when I see his face, he's going to look back at me and say, Tom, you look just like me. What in the world you say, Tom? I don't know. I can't help think I might say, my, what a face.
Yeah.
My, what a face.
Yes, 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 yes.
But when he sees you and you do not mirror him, all of those times that you have rejected him, they have made hell hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. Preacher, you got any idea how all of this will come to an end? Yes. The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. Stars shall applaud with thunderous praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those that are waiting, and we shall behold him face to face. The angels shall sound the shout of his coming. Sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place. Those who remain shall be changed in a moment, and we shall behold him. Yes, we shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. We shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face, our Savior and our Lord. Face to face, what shall it be for you, preacher?